I'd like you to find your place in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts, chapter 12. This is the final message, the good Lord willing, of this thought that I've been sharing with you on prayer of the church. The church coming together collectively for the purpose of praying together. And this is something that no doubt is the will of God. You know, sometimes a pastor is praying, seeking the Lord, and he's trying to discern the will of God in that area, and trying to discern the will of God in that area, and he has to stop and pause and wait and be patient and wait on the Lord to close that door, open that door. But there are other times when it's clear as whatever this means, the nose is on your face. And this is one of those areas that we don't even have to pray about this, really, to be honest with you. This is the will of God for this local church. It is God's will for God's people to pray. And it's God's will for God's people not only just to individually pray, but to pray as a family, and what I'm preaching on, praying as a church. Do you understand that if we would pray as a church family and we're really praying in a way that pleases God, I'm talking about unified, clear, forgiven, no bitterness, no anger. I'm talking about we're all in harmony. When a church comes together and prays like that, God can do mighty, mighty things. I want to pray with you, and I just want to give you the title of this found in verse number 5. And what I plan on doing tonight is I plan on going back and reviewing, if you allow me to do this and bear with me, this entire message. Now, not everything I preached on, because you can go back and get it in detail. I'm talking about when I preached on major part 1 and part 2. I'm just going to go and hit the highlights tonight, bring us back up to date with where we are. Then we're going to apply this to our church. And I'm going to show you what God's been laying on my heart, and I'm going to show you what God's been laying on our heart as a church staff. I've had a church staff meeting. They've helped me with this. We've been praying about it, seeking God, and we feel clear direction with this. However, we want to put a disclaimer. The Lord can change it any way He wants to, anytime He wants to, okay? This is His church meeting, and whatever He wants to do is fine with us. We're just going to show you what He's laying on our heart tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Bless us now, I pray. May the will of God be done, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 12, in context, this is the story where Peter has been thrown into prison. He's chained up. And in verse number 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We lifted out these words, prayer of the church. Prayer of the church. Now, I do not believe there's a person here tonight who would not agree with the fact that we all need to pray. As a matter of fact, we all understand that it's God's will for us to pray. However, how many here, including me, have a prayer life to prove what we all assent to? We need to pray. We must have God's power. We need the Lord. And you understand that prayer is an acknowledgement of what I just said. When we pray, I'm talking about truly pray, we are acknowledging the fact that we need God. And we're acknowledging the fact that we need His power, and that without Him we cannot make it. E.M. Bounds said, and I quote, "The estimate and place of prayer is the estimate and place of God. To give prayer the secondary place is to make God secondary in life's affairs." Somebody said, "Nothing of eternal significance ever happens apart from prayer." While we know we should have a personal, passionate prayer life, lately the Lord has been burdening my heart as your pastor about the importance and power of a praying church. And let me emphasize this to you again. This emphasis on a church-wide prayer meeting is not to take the place of a personal prayer life. As a matter of fact, what we're calling on is we're calling on God's children who are walking with God. They are personally walking with God. They are reading the Bible. They're gleaning from the Bible. They are trying to obey the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. They're praying in secret. They're praying in private. They're praying in their closets together. When individual Christians are praying like that and they're spending time with God, quality time alone with God, and then we start coming together and you bring God and I bring God and he brings God and she brings God from our personal prayer life, and then we meet together with our hearts right with God, collectively agreeing on earth that this is what God wants us to do, and we need God's power and God's help, and you're right with God and I'm right with God, and I've walked with God and you've walked with God, and we're walking together in the church prayer meeting, there's no telling what God can do with this church. This is God's will. It's God's will for us to pray together. And in a world where local churches have changed praying for programs, and they've changed interceding to entertainment, let us be a church that puts the emphasis where God puts it. Let us be a church who truly comes together to pray and watch God work and do what only God can do. I've been doing a lot of administrative work lately, a lot of putting together things, and if you were over where I'm at, if you were over there earlier, it looked like a bomb went off, and that bomb is getting a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller, so to speak, and God is showing me things, and God is guiding me and leading me in that ministry, and how that ministry functions, and what that one needs to do, and leadership. I mean, he's flooding my heart over there. But one thing he's really challenging me with is this: don't carry something I didn't give you to carry. Don't pick up the ball that I didn't put in play. You know, when we get overwhelmed is when we put on our plate what God never intended us to put on our plate. And I'm telling you, I am willing. Now, he's not led me to do this. He's not led me. So if you're sitting there getting ready and you're leading a ministry, don't think, is he talking about my ministry? I'm not talking about any ministry, because he's not led me to do this right now. But I am burdened about this. I'm willing to cut things out to include prayer, friends. And if God shows me we're doing anything during a time when he wants us praying instead, we will cut it out. I hope you're on board there, friends. I hope you're on board. Now, don't let that make you nervous, because he's not led me to cut out anything. And he may not lead me to cut out a thing. Not a thing. But if he does, it's for what he's given us instead of what we gave ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you follow where I'm going here? Will you pray with me that God will lead me if there's anything that he wants us to change that to this time, because he wants us to spend that time in prayer? Will you pray with me on that? I hope you will. Because we need to emphasize what God emphasizes, and God emphasizes prayer. He really, really does. E.M. Bounds said this: what the church needs today is not more or better machinery, not more organization or more novel methods, but men mighty in prayer. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's been said the early days of the church, talking about the New Testament church, which is the church that we've been studying together, just looking at their prayer life, the early days of the church were dominated by corporate prayer. If you study Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll notice how often they came together. They just came together collectively to pray. And God transformed the world at that time through a praying church. May I say this to you? They didn't have internet. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have all the, all these tools and all these gadgets that we have, but the New Testament church evangelized the world. They evangelized the world. Yeah, they didn't have anything near what we have. Do you understand that when 9/11 happened, it took 2 weeks for the entire world to hear the news? The entire world. 2 weeks. Because of the way we can shoot things out. They didn't have any of that, but God used them to turn the world right side up. Let me ask you a question. What do they have that we don't? Well, let me put it this way. What did they do that we don't? Now, I'm convicted because it is so easy to fall into the trap of doing something for God, doing something for God, doing something for God, Hey, I want to do something for God, don't you? Amen. But we can be a church that gets so focused on doing something for God, doing something for God, doing, that we forget the being with Him. And God wants us to be with Him so we have His power to do for Him what only He can do in the first place. Now, let me just give you these things that we've already preached to you, and I'm going to apply this to our church here. And again, I want to emphasize what I'm going to apply to you is only the beginning point. God can add to it, take away from it, whatever He wants. I'm just going to show you what's in my heart to this point, okay? Is that fair enough if I do that? Let me give you several things about prayer of the church that we've already preached on, but I'm just going to go back and tap it on the head. First of all, it was commanded. We see this in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. The church at Colossae was commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It was commanded. Number two, it was unified. When they came together, they didn't have personal agendas. They didn't have bitterness among themselves. May I say this to you? It's hard to pray with somebody right beside you that you're at odds against. It's hard to do that. Let me tell you what a church-wide prayer meeting can do. It can unify a church. Because if you really want to get a prayer through, as the Holy Spirit of God is the author of all of it, and you kneel down in prayer and you ask Him to show you where you need to be clean, and you realize, hey, you want God to answer that prayer, but you realize He's not going to hear your prayers if you have unconfessed sin, the Holy Spirit, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to start pointing it out and say, you need to go make that right first, don't you? You need to get that right, don't you? You know where that happens? In prayer and in the Word of God. I'm telling you, it was unified. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer. Romans 15:30, now beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Acts 4:24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Acts 2:42 to 47 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Notice that now. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Matthew 18:19, and I say again unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it should be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. See, the New Testament church prayer of the church, it was commanded, it was unified. Number three, it was continuous. The Bible says in Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord. Acts 2:41 and 42, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. That means they were not going to move. They just made up their mind, we're going to pray and we're not going to stop. The Bible says in Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It was continuous. Number four, it was earnest. It was, in other words, it was fervent. It had energy behind it. We get this in that same verse in Acts 12:5, our text verse, where it says, Peter therefore is kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing the church unto him, unto God for him. The word prayer, when you look it up, means earnest prayer. Look it up. It means fervent, earnest prayer. That means whenever the church was gathered, Peter was in prison. For all they knew, they were going to kill him. So when they came together to pray, they were not half-hearted. When they got on their faces, they were pouring out their heart to God. May I say this to you? It's not how long we pray. It's how we pray. Somebody's not spiritual because they pray an hour. Somebody can be more spiritual praying 30 seconds than somebody who prays 2 hours if their heart is where God wants it to be. It's not a matter of how long you pray, it's how you pray. And when we come together, let's get earnest with God. Then, number five, it was specific. I gave you 19 things there. I'm just going to mention them. God helping me just to mention them. I'm going to attempt, okay? Remember, as you study the New Testament church, I'm talking about throughout the New Testament, whether it's one of them praying or whether it's all of them collectively praying, we studied one, like the Apostle Paul, how he prayed, or collectively together, we broke it down into two major sections. First of all, what they literally prayed for. Under that, we saw that they prayed for boldness, remember? We saw, number two, that they prayed for their persecuted. We saw, number three, that they prayed for their missionaries, those that went out from their church. We saw, number four, that they prayed for their leaders among themselves. Number five, we saw that they prayed to know God's will, to have a worthy walk of Jesus Christ, and to have fruitful works all the time. Number six, they prayed for strength, endurance, and joy through life. Number seven, they prayed for God's will to be done and God's name to be glorified. Go back and get all this. I've already preached on it in detail. That's why I'm just mentioning it to you here. They prayed, number eight, to know Christ's love, to know the love of God, to know how much Jesus loves them. Wouldn't that be a great request? I mean, Lord, help us understand really how much you really love us. That changed our life. They prayed to be filled with the fullness of God. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? God, would you fill us with everything you are? What a prayer request. They prayed just to praise God. That's number nine. Sometimes they came together, didn't ask for anything, just gave him praise. There's going to be some Wednesday nights when you come, we're not going to ask God for anything. All we're going to do is just praise him. Just thank him for everything he's done. That'd be a good prayer meeting. Amen. Hey, the Apostle Paul, let me tell you what he prayed for. His nation's salvation. Romans 10 verse 1. He said his prayer to God for his people is that they might be saved. Do you think it might be appropriate for God's people in the United States of America to get on their face, broken, earnest, unified before God as a church family that's been walking with God individually and coming together collectively and begging God for revival in the United States of America? Begging God to protect us from things that are trying to infiltrate our country? See, it's easy to get up and criticize. It's easy, and by the way, we ought to. There's a time and place for all of that. But let me say this to you. We would do much more for God if we spent more time on our knees than we do anything else. Praying for our nation. That's what they prayed for. Secondly, we showed you what they were commanded to pray for. Now again, I'm just tapping the highlights here. What they prayed for, there's several things. And then under this, those things that God's Word commands God's children to pray for in the New Testament, there's many of them. I gave you nine of them, but this is limitless, really. But here's what we preached on. Those in authority were commanded to pray for in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Secondly, the sick among them in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. James chapter 1, verse 5, we're commanded to pray for wisdom. I'm asking you to pray for God to give me wisdom as your pastor. I pray for wisdom. I need wisdom. Hey, we're commanded to pray for laborers. In Matthew 9, 38, Luke 10, 2, we're commanded to pray for God's provision to provide for us in Matthew 6, 11. We're commanded to pray for God's forgiveness in Matthew 6, 12. We're commanded to pray for God's deliverance in Matthew 6, 13, 26, 41. In other words, God keep us from evil. God protect our church. Help us to be able to smell the devil. Whenever something's trying to sneak in, help us to be able to taste that and smell that and say, something's not right there. Give us wisdom and protect us, Lord. Would you do that? That'd be a great request. They were commanded to pray that God's word would have free course and that God's word would be glorified. That'd be a great thing for you to be praying along with your pastor while I'm preaching the word of God. God, help your word to have free course as he preaches. And may it be glorified today. May the preacher not be glorified. May the stories not be. May your word be glorified. That's what they were commanded to pray for in the New Testament. That God's word would have free course. And that God's word would be glorified. They were commanded to pray for open doors to preach the gospel. We have seen that happen this week. That's happened this week with the NICU unit. That's happened this week where you pray, God, would you open a door? If you'll open that door, we'll go through it. I'm paraphrasing. And sit back and watch God just put the right people in the right place who's calling the shots. Say, come on in. You can do anything you want to do. I mean, that's a blessing, friends. That's God opening those doors. So we see, and what we've studied in this message is that prayer of the church was commanded. It's the right thing to do. It was unified. They were in harmony together. It was continuous. They refused to quit. They were earnest. They just kept, I'm talking about they poured their heart into God. They were specific. They didn't just say, God bless the missionaries. They said, God bless Paul. Would you take care of Paul? Would you touch Barnabas? And would you be with him as he goes out? Get specific with it. And that's what we're going to do in this church prayer meeting. There's a survey that was taken that said this, and I quote, the average congregant, the average person that goes to church, this is just an average now, I trust it's not the average here, but just generally speaking, the average congregant spends more time watching television in one day than he spends in all spiritual pursuits in an entire week. Did you get that? That the average person that goes to church, not somebody that's out of church, somebody who's in church, if you take how much time they watch television in one day and then add up the entire week for what they did for God, most people watch more television, longer time watching television in one day than they give God the whole week. Now that's not right, friends. You know how you correct it? Personally. Now, I'm not saying I do that. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm saying instead of getting your eyes on everybody else, you just make sure that's not you doing that. Amen. Take care of yourself. Make sure you're not doing that. Prayer must be a priority. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Let us be determined as a church that we are going to pray. E.M. Bounds said, Satan has effectively disarmed us when he can keep us too busy doing things to stop and pray. Spurgeon said, and I quote, Beloved, let us wrestle in prayer, for untold blessings are to be had for the asking. As a church, we have been specially favored, but we have not exhausted the possibilities of prosperity, of the resources of a heavenly power. There is a future for us if we pray. Greater things than these lie behind that curtain. No hand can unveil them but the hand of prayer. That's what Spurgeon said. Hey, let me say this to you. You think God blessed Spurgeon's church? The Metropolitan Tabernacle? You think God's blessing was upon it? Yes, absolutely. And that dear man of God said, listen, I know God's blessing this church, but we have not tapped out his power. Amen. He's saying there's more for the asking. And let us not settle for anything less than what God has. Don't you think God wants to do that for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church also? As we approach a church-wide prayer meeting, burdened to pray, and knowing that we ought to pray, let us not forget the reason that we should do this. The reason is not so God will fill the pews. That's a byproduct. It's not so your conscience is clear. It's not to get God's blessing on your life. The reason we ought to do it is because he is worthy to be praised. And he is worthy to spend time with. May I share with you my heart? I'm getting ready to apply this now. You see a little bit of it in the big day coming up, the open house. You'll notice for this big day, there are no number goals. I'm talking about people. We did not make goals. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. So let me throw that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm emphasizing something here. We did not set goals for that class to have that many and that class to have that many and that bus route to have that many. No. Our goal is completely a work goal. Can I put it this way? An obedience goal. We're trying to give out 10,000 invitations for this special day. However many comes, that's up to God. But God is pleased when we set a goal for your class or your bus route to give that many invitations out. Because all that's doing is obeying what he's told you to do anyway. Our goal should be to obey the Lord, to honor the Lord, praise the Lord, come together to pray to him because he's worthy, not coming to him for the benefits. It's very easy to do that, friends. It's very easy to get on your face and pray and beg God because you want your Sunday school class to grow and you want your bus route to grow and you want God's blessing on your physical being and you don't want sickness and you don't want that. But if you're not careful, what he has in his hands can become the motive instead of him. Let's just please the Lord and let him bless any way he sees fit. Now let me apply this to our church. May I do this? I've given myself about anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes to do this and we'll be done. Paul Chappell said, a church that desires real fruit must be a church that practices real prayer. That's a great statement. One man said, if we depend upon an organization, we get what an organization can do. If we depend upon education, we get what education can do. But if we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. And there's nothing wrong with organization. I'm doing that with the administration. There's nothing wrong with education. If you bypass prayer, we're bypassing what God wants us to do. Charles Spurgeon said the condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. If God be near a church, it must pray. How many of y'all were here a couple of Sunday nights ago in that service where we believe God really took that service over? Would you raise your hand? Don't you want to see that happen more? Don't you want to see a service where God moves in such a mighty way that you know it's God leading that service? Yes. Do you want that? We'll get it if we pray. Andrew Bonner said this, God likes to see his people shut up to this. There's no hope but in prayer. Herein lies the church's power against the world. There's no doubt that it's the will of God for this local church to be a praying church. Amen or not? Yes? There's no doubt. If we desire to have the smile of God on this ministry, we must pray. And as we approach our church-wide prayer meetings, let us remember to pray to the audience of one. We're praying to God. Let us remember that God is truly worthy to be sought, and let us remember, as taken from a book that I read, that an authentic prayer life and the vision for a praying church is a marathon, not a sprint. Can I paraphrase what that means? Don't quit. Pace yourself. It's not a zoop done, zoop nut. No, it's pacing ourselves. We are running a marathon. Sometimes when you run a marathon, never run one. Don't plan to either. Amen. But if you ever run a marathon, there's no doubt in my mind, sometimes that side starts hurting, doesn't it? Mine does that, and I'm not even running a marathon. You know what I mean? Your side starts hurting. Might have to stop and take a sip of Gatorade because you're about to dehydrate, aren't you? But you know that the run is going to be worth it when you cross the finish line. We must pace ourselves. Let us be committed to this prayer meeting until the Lord calls us home. We desire for our church prayer meetings to be well-pleasing to the Lord. We also desire for the Lord to take full control and lead us in these meetings any way He so desires. The following plans are put together out of a desire to please the Lord and also to make it known that we want to follow the Lord's leading in all areas. Here's the plan. As it stands tonight, number one, each ministry should have a prayer meeting before their ministry begins. I call upon every ministry of this local church, and if you're leading this ministry, this is your job, your duty, and I encourage you to do this. Whatever your ministry is, teaching a Sunday school class, bus route, ushers have started this. I salute you. God bless you. Thank you. Choir, youth group, nursery workers, cadets for Christ. I don't care what ministry it is. It ought to begin with prayer. And I would encourage you to be, I'm talking about the leaders now, I would encourage you to get creative. The John Manetta I know has already begun this in the bus ministry. Most buses are leaving by 8:15. Or the earliest one, I guess, leaves at 8:15, something along that line. So at 8 o'clock, he has called a church-wide bus prayer meeting, and I salute that. Amen. And I would encourage every single bus worker to be in that meeting at 8 o'clock. Now you say, Jody, you going to check up on me? No. Do I have to go? No. Matter of fact, if you don't want to go, I don't want you there. Amen. But if you really want God's blessing and you really want God to move, you say, well, I'm already doing that. I'm praying individually for my route. Great, but then come together collectively for that little group of people and encourage each other and pray together unified. 10, 15 minutes prayer meeting, begging God for safety that day on the road. Hey, by the way, has God been good on the bus routes? Amen or not? Keeping them safe? Let's pray and ask God to keep them safe again. Let's pray and ask God to deliver us from any kind of false accusations. Let's pray and ask God to fill them up. Hey, let's pray and ask God, wake that kid up when we're coming. Let him be ready. Let that mom and daddy wake up and say, "What? I'm forgetting something. Wait a minute, the church bus is coming." Hey, you understand? God can do things like that. He can. Every ministry should have a pre-service meeting, whether it be before, 5 or 10 minutes before it starts, or the 5 or 10 minutes that it begins, devote it to prayer and beg God to bless that particular ministry. I believe God be in that. Amen. Number two, I'm praying. You just pray with me here, and if the Lord so leads, we'll make this available. I would love to have some men of God rising to the occasion, especially on Sunday morning, that while I'm preaching here, you are somewhere on the property, maybe even just circumferencing. I'm walking the property, begging God to work in the children's churches, begging God to work in the main auditorium, begging God to keep the nursery safe. I'm talking about just men just marching around. It might be the patrol duty. It might be them who are pulling double duty. That while you're doing patrol, you are begging God to use the Word of God to change somebody's life inside the church building. I'm just letting you in my heart here a little bit. Number three, Saturday morning prayer meeting for men. It's already been going on for years. Men, you're invited. Again, please, please don't feel pressured to do this. Well, the pastor said it. I better go, or you know. No. You don't understand my heart if you come for that reason. My heart is this: we want God to bless. Will you come join it? Will you be here Saturday morning, 7 o'clock? It's my only day to sleep in. That's between you and God. I'm not going to crucify you for that. I'm not going to criticize you for that. You just ask God what He wants you to do and obey the Lord. And if He tells you don't come, don't come. But if He tells you to, sacrifice and come on. God will bless you for it. Number four, our Wednesday evening prayer groups. This is what we've been plowing towards. Here's our plan. Our plan is that each Wednesday evening, now we've not started this yet because we are preparing a Wednesday night prayer sheet. Brother Bob Mann is going to be creating this, so once that's done, we will launch this officially. But each Wednesday evening, we're going to come together at 7 o'clock here in the auditorium. And our plan is that the preaching will take place at the first part of the service. We will preach every Wednesday night. We are not going to belittle the preaching of God's Word. We will preach the Bible every Wednesday night. But instead of the service ending with the preaching, it's going to begin with it. Okay? And around 7:35, we're going to break into our groups during certain Wednesday nights. And some Wednesday nights, we're just going to stay right here in the auditorium together, and I'm going to give you some special requests that we're just going to beg God to meet with us and help us. These groups are going to be divided as follows, unless the Lord so changes. Some Wednesday nights, and you'll be contacted if you lead this, because every group will have a leader. And if you're a leader, you'll be contacted, realizing at least a week ahead of time that, hey, this coming Wednesday night is my group. There'll be a leader. Some Wednesday nights we'll break up into our Sunday school classes, adults, because the children will be in Cadets for Christ, all of this. So even if you teach a children's class, you would go to the prayer meeting of the adult class that you would be in if you were not teaching. We may adjust this. I might have superintendents meet with your teachers and pray for your department. Some Wednesday nights, that's what we'll do. We'll split up into our Sunday school classes, and where possible, where the children are not located, we'll let you go to your Sunday school class and give you specific requests that'll be on the Wednesday night prayer sheet, so to speak, that your class is praying for those specific things, begging God to touch and bless. Some weeks we're going to have deacons in place, and the deacons are going to be partnered up, God willing, and they're going to, my plan is to divide the entire church roster. If you're not on the roster, you need to get on it, okay? And I'm going to divide the entire church roster, and there's going to be deacons that are heads of these groups. And those groups are going to be groups, God willing, that the deacon is going to help me keep up with sicknesses and stuff like that, not just for the prayer meeting, but for a particular Wednesday night, the deacons will be leading your group in a certain area on the church. I'm talking about when we break up into our groups, and there'll be specific requests on the Wednesday night prayer sheet. The sheet will be something that you take home and you can pray throughout the week, but for your time, you're just going to have a specific spot. I want your group praying for that tonight, you see. And specifically, you're going to be praying for these things with your deacon and his wife, and they'll be leading this. Some weeks, God willing, we'll be breaking up into generation prayer groups. What I mean is all teenagers together, all 20s together, all 30s, all 40s, all 50s, all 60s, and then all 70 and above. Praying for your generation, that God will bless your generation and show you what you can do and help you reach more from your generation. This is the springboard, the springboard. These 19 things that I gave you in this lesson, I'm talking about what the church prayed for and what they were commanded to pray for. God willing, those things will rotate on the Wednesday night prayer sheet, that several of those 19 things, 1, 2 to 5, something like that, every Wednesday night will be on that prayer sheet, one of those 19 things that I brought out in this sermon. Pray for laborers. Pray for wisdom. Pray for this. We're still in the process of fine-tuning this, but the bottom line is, come prepared. I'll let you know far ahead of time. Come prepared, beginning on Wednesday nights, to hear the message first. And around 7:30, 7:35, we either stay here or we break up into our groups. At that time, you're free to go home. You don't have to stay. But I sure hope you will. And we're going to get together as prayer leaders and prayer groups. By the way, the leaders, I will meet with you ahead of time and train you about how to do this, how not to do it, because you'll be leading these groups. And I'm encouraged about what God's going to do. Now, if you have questions about this, you let me know. And I remind you about this. I'm still plowing. I'm still preparing. But that's a basic general idea. We may start doing this once a month, back at the 2 weeks a month. But eventually, I'd like for it to be every week. Every week. That our church is coming together one time collectively together on Wednesday night, begging God for His help and His strength and His power. And then individual ministries every week before they start or the first part of their session, that is devoted to prayer. Let's pause before we start and let's get a prayer partner and let's pray for this ministry tonight that God will bless this ministry, that God will bless this, that He'll take this and use it in the mind. Let's bring God in on this ministry, friends. Amen tonight, friends. God is pleased with this. And we're getting very close to literally launching this. First thing we will do, two things. I will train the leaders. And then secondly, the prayer sheet will be created. And then we will start the following Wednesday when all those things are in line. We're hoping to be started with this in about a month. Okay? Make sense? Understand this? You believe God's in it? Amen? Then let's get behind it, okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You tonight. Blessed, I pray. Challenge us, I ask, and may the will of God be done. We love You this evening. Thank You for loving us first. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody the opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, I'm just going to ask her just to begin to play through softly. And if you're here tonight and you need to be saved, would you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel? Would you do that? Or maybe I want to call on some leaders here tonight, some folks that are some men and some ladies, some church members, those who are visiting the church, or maybe leaders in the church that you say, Jody, well, I'm behind this. And I know God's in it. And I'd like to just let God know that I'm behind this. Whatever He wants to do, that's my heartbeat. Maybe you just want to come and pray tonight. As she plays, come now. Would you do that? If you feel led to get out of your seat and come and talk to God, just come on now. Come talk to the Lord. Ask God to touch this. Would you do that? Would you ask God to bless it? Would you ask God to lead in a plain path and lead the pastor, Lord? Give him wisdom with this. Hey, even what rotates on the Wednesday night prayer sheet, those different prayer requests that rotate. We need wisdom with that. God, give wisdom with that. And the weeks that you want to lead the pastor that, hey, he was planning on breaking up into groups, but you want him to keep everybody in the auditorium, would you lead him in a plain path in that? Would you make it obvious to him with that? And would you bless these prayer meetings? May the Lord touch this and bless this. This can change our life. No doubt about it. This can change this church, no doubt about it. And make this church what it needs to be and can be. Ask God to help and to guide and direct. If you're here tonight and need to be saved, now's your time. Come on now. Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege to pray. And Lord, I thank You for how You've led in a plain path. Lord, I know that this Wednesday night prayer service that we're plowing towards, God willing, within a month, I hope, Lord, I pray that that's the case. We pray, Lord God, that You'll touch it and breathe upon it. We pray that You'll guide in a plain path. Would You lead us in a way that You want us to go? May the will of God be done. And may this be a life-changing meeting for this local assembly. And may the will of God be accomplished, I pray. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for these precious people. Bless them tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Right before we're dismissed, I'm going to call the church into session. We have one mission item here tonight.